Something that Satan does not want you to know is that he wants you to stay spiritually dead. He wants you to be spiritually alienated from anything that is alive. As a matter of fact, he gets terrified every time you start toward the altar. Because he knows that if you can ever make it to the altar and connect with the anointing, that there's a part of your DNA that can get activated. And he does not want your spiritual DNA to get activated, because when it gets activated, you begin to grow. That's what happens in young people when their cells begin to multiply and they begin to grow. And we have stages of that. We call it puberty. We call it all kinds of things where it's showing that you're beginning to mature. And Satan is scared to death that you are going to spiritually mature. So he would rather point out everything that's wrong, point out every preacher that has failed, point out every Christian that's a hypocrite, point out every church that has a flaw in it, which is every church. He would like to point out the mess in the body of Christ as opposed to the blessings of the body of Christ, because we are a family, and how many know families get messy sometimes? It's still a good family, even though it might get a little messy. And the enemy does not want you to get mature. He does not want you to grow up, and he is terrified that we will get connected with the anointing of God, and that connection will cause our DNA to get activated. Satan wants you living in an empty house. See, he's homeless, and if your house is empty, he can live there. Satan has been kicked out of his house. He doesn't have a house. Satan doesn't have a temple, but he wants to dwell in homeless houses. He wants empty places where people have given up on life and their heart is filled with hopelessness and they have nothing to hang on to. And those are the places he haunts. He wants to haunt people who have emptied their life of love and emptied their life of hope and emptied their life of joy and emptied their life of dreams and emptied their life of passion. He wants to search out those people that have settled for religion because they don't know they can actually have a relationship with the Lord. And they would rather sing a couple of songs and take a little communion and go through the motions and really not sense anything or grow or connect to anything. So the enemy loves it when we are spiritually dead. The devil is looking for places that are unoccupied because he knows that when you encounter the Holy Spirit, that you are no longer a house. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, you have been changed from a house to a temple. How many of you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? So he realizes that when you encounter him and he moves in, well, what do you mean when he moves in? That is what we call salvation. So I don't want to mess with anyone's theology tonight, but you have to be indwelt by the Holy Spirit before you can ever be infilled by the Holy Spirit. So the indwelling of the Holy Spirit happens when you invite Jesus Christ into your heart. That is when the Holy Spirit takes up abode inside of you. That's what we call salvation. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But then from there, once you get him inside, he begins to flow out of you. And that's what we call being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not him coming in. It's him actually flowing out of you with the rivers of living water that are flowing out of you. So he doesn't want you to let Christ in. He doesn't want you to let the Holy Spirit in. So the enemy is terrified of anybody who's been sanctified. Sanctified means I have been set apart. Sanctified means I have a calling on my life. Sanctified means God wants to use me. Sanctified means I belong to a family now. Sanctified means I'm no longer isolated. I'm not an island to myself. Sanctified means I have a purpose, I have a plan, and that God is putting me, God is ordering my steps with his word. And Satan is terrified of people who have found their identity in Jesus. Jesus Christ. As long as you don't know who you are, he can terrorize your house. As long as you don't claim that I am an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, I am a king's kid, the righteous of the Almighty God. As long as you never declare, I have royal blood in my veins and we will not tolerate the enemy in our camp, as long as you can't say that and you don't declare that, he moves in and moves out and moves in and moves out, terrorizing your mind and terrorizing your emotions, because he is terrified that one of these days you will encounter such an impact of the anointing that that anointing will get inside of you and you will stand up and put some oil on the doorpost of your house and say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord and we are evicting you. You don't belong here. You can't come here because this house belongs to the Lord. He doesn't want you to do that. He wants you to be weak. He wants you to gossip. He wants you to complain. He can use that. He can use that. He wants you to point out flaws in other people. He can use that. But what he does not want you to do is stand up like a warrior and look him in the eye and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And I stand here unashamed declaring that I have a king and I am his royal servant. He doesn't want you to be bold. He doesn't want you to be victorious. He doesn't want you to have a declaration on your lips. He wants you to whine. He wants you to complain. I know none of you do that, but I hear they do that in some churches. I know all of us are mature in the Lord and strong in the power of his might. We walk through hell with a water pistol and we take over, right? That's what we do. But there are some people that he has held in bondage because they cannot give up certain habits that allow him in. They keep the window open, the door cracked. See, Satan knows that God has a plan for you. Satan knows that Psalm 139 has already declared that God had days fashioned for you when none of them even existed. Satan knows that God said, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. And he doesn't want you to ever figure that out. He doesn't want you to ever believe it. He doesn't want you to ever embrace it as who you are and the way that you live life. He knows that if you ever discovered the deposit, the real deposit that God has put inside of you, that it will activate your DNA and hell has gained another enemy. He would rather you visit the parties of hell and kind of live on the fringe, one foot in and one foot out, because he knows if you ever get mad at sin, that you're coming after him. He knows that if you ever get tired of him being pushing you around, he knows that the authority in you actually has power over every single demon. Jesus said, I put every enemy under my feet, and I put those same enemies under your feet. He knows that he cannot stand up to anybody that finds their spiritual backbone and the voice of God in their lips and stands with a Bible, shaking it as a sword in his face and speaking the word of God. He doesn't want you to put scriptures on your refrigerator. He does not want you to put scriptures on your desktop and on your iPad and on your phone. He doesn't want you quoting scriptures, reading your Bible, praying before you leave your house. He does not want you blessing your children before they go to school. If he can occupy you or sadden you with some news, or if he can defeat you with something that you heard somebody say, or get you on some conspiracy theory hunt, if he can do all of that to you, then he keeps you out of his hair. But I need some people tonight who are declaring, I am ready to mature in God. I am ready to live a life in the Spirit and declare what is mine. I realize that I have the deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of me, and the deposit of the Holy Spirit inside of me means that the one inside of me is omniscient, the one inside of me is omnipresent, the one inside of me is omnipotent, and I have no fear as long as I recognize the deposit that God has put in my life. Can you give the Lord praise tonight?
Thank you so much for supporting our ministry. If this has blessed you, please say a prayer for us. And if you would like to give, we have four ways that you can do that. You can give online at briancutshaw.com, or if you're a PayPal user, just PayPal us at Church Trainer. Or you can also give through the mail at P.O. Box 267, Georgetown, Tennessee 37336. Or if you're a Venmo user, you can Venmo us also at Church Trainer. Thank you, and God bless you, and may the Lord multiply your seed. Now back to Hope in the Word.
So there's three parts to this life in the Spirit. There's the inflow, there's the outflow, and there's the overflow. So let's talk about this, because there may be someone here tonight that you're living in that haunted house. You're being tormented by the thoughts of the enemy. Can I set somebody free here? Can you give me 1 second to set somebody free here? Some of the thoughts in your head are not yours. You're beating yourself up because you thought that. You're not the one that thought that. That was put there in your head. The enemy can put suggestions in your mind. That's all principalities do. Principalities are whisperers, and they whisper these ideas hoping that you will take the bait. So don't beat yourself up because your mind wandered in the wrong direction. No, you take authority and bring all things under subjection. You know, let me just give somebody a word tonight from the book of Job, chapter 31, verse 1. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes. I made a covenant with my eyes that I'm not going to look upon someone with lust. So why don't you start there? Just make a covenant with your eyes. And the next time that comes to your house, the next time that comes to your mind, you say, wait a minute, that's not my thought. Now, I realize that what just walked by me was not my fault, right? I get that. It moved right by me and my eyes went that way. That's just what happened. But I realized the thoughts in my head were put there by the enemy, and I've made a covenant with my eyes. I'm going to bounce my eyes off of that and look up to the hills from which cometh my help. Sometimes you got to make a covenant with your ears. There's certain things I'm just not going to listen to anymore. There's certain things I'm not going to do anymore. You have to make a covenant with your mind. There's certain things I'm not going to think of anymore. I'm disciplining myself, and if I'm going to think on these things, whatsoever is pure, whatsoever is lovely, whatsoever is of good report, I'm going to do what the Apostle Paul instructed. Sometimes we have to establish some disciplines in our lives to overcome what the enemy's throwing at us. So maybe you are living in that haunted house and you're wondering, how can I get out of this? The first key to spirit life is the inflow. Now, what the inflow looks like is you are born again. Everybody say born again. Now, when I was in St. Louis, I pastored thousands of people there, and almost every one of them, probably not every one of them, but I would say about 70% of our congregation came out of the Catholic Church. And it was because that the Catholic churches in St. Louis were not teaching this principle called being born again. And we were very careful not to slander the Catholic Church, and we were not going to beat anybody up for their beliefs, because they believe in Jesus and they believe in the Holy Spirit, and they believed a lot of the things that we believe. They believed in Holy Communion, maybe a little differently than us. And so we thought that's a good starting place right there. So we would just ask someone this question: I know you're religious, but have you ever been born again? No, what does that mean? And we would start there with that which is born of the Spirit is spirit, and that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So listen to what John says. Jesus answered, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So do not marvel what I said to you, that you must be born again. Now notice this. Once you're born again, look at verse 8. Once you're born again, something changes. So let's say that you're not serving Christ, and tonight you decide, Dr. B, I want to give my life to Christ, and you pray a prayer that I'm going to offer at the end. Put the scripture back up there, because I want to show you something in verse 8. So let's say that you pray that prayer with me. Verse 8 is what's going to happen to you. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound thereof, but you cannot tell where it's coming from and where it goes. So is everyone who's born of the Spirit. So he says, all of a sudden, I just prayed a prayer, and now there's this awakening inside of me. Now all of a sudden, I can't even tell where it's coming from. It's like the wind, but I feel different. Something inside of me is moving me. It's something is pushing me in a good direction. Now God is leading me, bringing people into my life. So when you're born born again, your spirit awakens. It is like a veil that has been lifted off of your eyes, and there is this awakening. Something in your mind comes alive. You have an awareness that you did not have before. I wish everybody could get saved just one more time all over again, right? Because if you can remember, some of us have been saved so long, and some of us were like raised in the church and, you know, babies in the church. It's like we can't even really remember a life in sin because we just kind of been bouncing around in and out all the time. But I've met so many people who their life was a mess until they turned it over to Jesus Christ. I don't know if you heard evangelist Jack A. Smith when she was here talking about, she was a famous opera star in New York, and she was on the opera circuit at St. Carnegie Hall. Her career was going great, but she was so depressed on the inside that she felt like committing suicide, and she tried to commit suicide because even though she was so famous in the New York opera scene, that her life was empty, her self-esteem was bottomed out, and she felt worthless. And one day she stumbled into a little prayer meeting. It wasn't even very big, and they gathered around her, not even knowing who she was, and they prayed for her. And she said, all of a sudden, something came alive in me. I was aware that there was another world besides the one I was living in. I was aware that I was not alone anymore, that someone was always with me. I realized I belonged to a family for the first time in my life. Listen, when you get born again, you get a new friend. He's called the Holy Spirit. And he is going to be with you when all your friends forsake you and leave you. I want to see the hand of every person that agrees with me on this, because I have to say that my best friend is the Holy Spirit. He really is. I mean, he is the one who is always there. He catches you. He talks with you. He walks with you. He holds you. He comforts you. There is a peace in knowing that the Holy Spirit is there. When your friend doesn't answer the phone, there is one that at the mention of his name will wrap his arms around you and begin to love on you and comfort and strengthen you. You need to change your mind about the Holy Spirit if you think he's just a power. No, he's not a power. He's a person who has power. He is a person. And the person of the Holy Spirit wants to be, the Bible calls it a parakletos, which means, come here, Nick, let me show you what that looks like. A parakletos is someone who walks beside of you. So here's what it's like having the Holy Spirit with me. He is right beside me. I can talk to him anytime I want. And because Nick is bigger than me, if I start to fall, he picks me up again. If somebody comes my way, Nick is the guy that says, no, not this one, not today. You're not distracting him. I'm with him today. He helps me find my way when I've lost it. And guess what? He can teach me. The Bible says in John 14, he can teach me all things. What does that mean? It means exactly that. He can teach you how to cook. He can teach you how to fix a car. He can teach you how to work a computer. Whatever it is that you need, the Bible said the Holy Spirit, he can help you with your homework. He can help you with your relationships. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He can help you with anything you need in your life. We are living beneath our benefits if we're not leaning upon the power of the Holy Spirit every day to guide us and strengthen us and teach us in our life. It's more than a quaking of the hand and a touching of the brow thing. It's more than a lifting of the hand in a worship service. No, he's there. You wake up with him every morning. You lay down with him every night, every hour of the day. He is there to walk with you and be with you in every part of your life.
This program is brought to you by the partners of Brian Cutshaw and Church Trainer Ministries. Please help us pray that the Lord will continue to send us more partners so we can expand his kingdom around the world.